Welcome to the June meeting of the San Diego Housing Commission Board. Today is June 20th, and the time is 9:04 a.m. First, a couple of housekeeping announcements. But welcome. There's an easy housekeeping announcement. The room is full. Okay. Did we check for guns as I came in? I said that because with having these two empty seats, I become an easy target. So, concerned. All right. So, members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. They look like this. So far, we have one. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collected testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. The public may ask for an item to be called from the consent agenda after the consent agenda is proposed. And the official rules say I'm supposed to say that you submit that before the meeting starts, but we haven't announced the proposed consent agenda, so once it's proposed, feel free to go ahead and politely let your feelings be known. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form like I just showed you before the meeting starts and hand it to the recording secretary over here in my corner. To my left, stage right. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to the item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, fill out a gold-colored form. And maybe one of these months we'll just reverse those for the fun of it. So, having gotten to that point in the agenda, we do have a request for public comment, and I'm going to apologize because I can't read Jim's last name.
Bardador.
Bardador, you did very well, Jim.
All right. Well, I had a coach.
Can I have one of them?
You can get one from.
Good morning, General Counsel.
Good morning.
Good morning. Excuse that, Mr. Chairman, if you will, please.
You want me to turn it on?
Yes, please. That way we establish a permanent record of this.
Mr. Chairman, the Council and I go back to this organization almost to the moment of the Big Bang. You own a property at 4395 El Cajon Boulevard that you bought recently under distress for a song, good for you. The project was originally 37 residential condominiums and 3 commercial condominiums over underground parking. The residential portion, I'm sure you leased up in the span of 20 minutes. Thank you, Counselor. The commercial portion is still unoccupied. I pieced it off, Mr. Chairman. It's about 3,000 square feet. I had a residential and commercial brokerage firm do an informal rent survey in the general vicinity. Rents are about $1.75 a foot. So at the moment, the commission is not receiving somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 a month that it could be receiving if those properties, commercial units were rented up. So I'd like to suggest that you do that, rent those up, and get the revenue from it. Even if you have to do something interesting like give $1.25 for the first year and $1.50 for a couple of years, there are ways to do this. But that property should not sit with 3 vacant, idle, commercial spaces on the first floor facing the boulevard for more than another week. And so I recommend strongly that we get busy and get that revenue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I know generally we do ask, you know, let the brokerage community know about the availability of that space. I'd have to check with our real estate department on that particular property, but we'll look into it. Thank you. And we have one more speaker, or one more person that desires to be a speaker.
Is that
Michael Ackerman. Would you please step forward and put your name and address into the microphone, and then go ahead and begin speaking.
My name is Michael Ackerman. I live at 4065 43rd Street, which is a senior housing center. Now, we've gotten a rent increase for July, and as I understand it, in order for this building to be built in the first place as a subsidized project, it had to meet certain requirements, like being near a bank, being near a bus stop, including being near a supermarket, which it no longer is. And this represents a real hardship for the people living there. So, it seems to be quite unfair to raise the rent. In fact, the rent should be lowered since it's not as good a place for seniors to live.
Thank you, sir. Next, we come to a place where there's a space for commissioner comments. Commissioner, do you think you have anything you wish to say? Well, I've delayed it as long as we can. Now it's time for the report by the President, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it will be brief. I've got 4 significant personnel items with reflecting some leadership changes at the organization that I'd just like to introduce to you. The first is James Watkins, if you could stand, please, who is a new, recently added employee to the Housing Commission. He is our Director of Rental Assistance Programs in our Housing Assistance Division on the third floor. His responsibilities include the oversight of operations and activities in the area of occupancy, leasing, and inspections. He comes to us from Bank of America, where he was a senior VP and a senior operations manager of the Cash Vault Services. We're very glad to have you here, sir. Thank you for joining us. Another promotion, somebody who everybody here knows, Ann Kern. Ann, where are you? Ann's not here. I'm talking about you. You need to be. We have just promoted Ann to Vice President, Housing, Finance, and Program Development within the Real Estate Department. That becomes effective July the 1st. Ann has been with the Housing Commission for more than 20 years. She has lead responsibility on finance, rental housing, loan management, and rehabilitation units. She's the money lady here. She's a graduate from San Diego State.
Go Aztecs.
Yeah, great, go Aztecs. And has been a key member of our leadership team here for years. And I wanted to note that, and thank you. Also, Emmanuel Arellano, who has just been promoted to Director of Portfolio Management. He's been serving in that capacity as acting director for some time. Emmanuel joined the Housing Commission as a real estate intern in 2009, and he assisted Debbie and the real estate team with their $95 million finance plan to create the 810 additional units of affordable housing through the repositioning of the former public housing properties. He's led several special projects in the real estate division, including the refinancing of our Smart Corner office building, implementation of the smoke-free policy, and bringing physical needs assessment of all our properties. I wanted to recognize Emmanuel as well. Thank you, sir. Also, Melissa Peterman. Melissa, if you'd stand up, please. Melissa is our interim manager of the Housing Innovations Department, beginning, I believe it was May the 23rd, sometime late May. She is also the newest member of the Housing Commission's Housing Innovations Department team. She joined us last October as a senior program analyst and brings over 5 years' experience in field and homeless services. Before joining the commission, Melissa worked in direct services helping chronically homeless, severely mentally ill individuals to stabilize and maintain permanent housing at St. Vincent's de Paul Villages. Since joining the commission, Melissa has helped to facilitate the development and implementation of a new coordinated assessment center at the city's single adult shelter. And she was also recently selected to serve as downtown San Diego's housing matcher for something called the 25 Cities Initiative, which the Housing Commission is involved in, which is hoping to do some significant early placement now. Melissa, thank you. We're glad to have you on board. I just wanted to sort of recognize these four individuals to you. They reflect the ongoing changes in leadership within the Housing Commission and a very good investment in the future for this organization.
I'm going to interrupt you and say,
yes,
how about a round of applause for our new person?
Also, a couple of other things, not insignificant. The City Council, sitting as the Housing Authority, approved the Housing Commission's fiscal year 15 budget on June the 9th. It's a $337.3 million budget. And council leadership reflected much approval on the additional activities we're involved in dealing with homelessness and homelessness services. Our finance services department, Nicole and her group, were awarded a certificate from the Government Finance Officers of the U.S. and Canada. And this is a certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting. This is the sixth consecutive year that our finance department has received this outstanding award. Also, in front of you, board members, is a paper copy of the 2013 annual report and portfolio, which Maria and her department issued on May the 23rd. This is a multimedia digital publication. The print is impressive, but it's not nearly as impressive as the electronic version. I would recommend that you go online if you have not already done so. We communicate as well as anyone I know in this industry, and I think this is a wonderful document. And I say that not just as probably the lowest tech person on staff here, but just as a layperson. This gives great information to the field on the things that we do that can sometimes seem pretty esoteric. A major theme of this year's report is the Housing First model of addressing homelessness in the city, and that is an area that we're going to continue to be involved in going forward. Also, on June the 12th, the San Diego Housing Federation held their annual Ruby Awards meeting, where they gave recognition to particularly successful accomplishments in affordable housing for the previous year. And a property called Kalos, which is an 83-unit apartment complex developed by Community Housing Works in North Park, received an award, Ruby Award, this year for energy efficiency and sustainability. The Housing Commission provided a $6.9 million loan toward the acquisition and development of Kalos. We also authorized the issuance of more than $14 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds administered by the state. And I think that reflects a very good, one of the better accomplishments of the activities that we've been involved in over the years. Also in front of you, board members, is a copy of an e-blast sent out by our communications department on May the 27th, which includes other information about recent activities here as well. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Good report. I forgot on the housekeeping matter to announce that we do have a quorum present. We have four of the board members here. The other three are absent by prior permission, so that last housekeeping item is complete. Now I'd like to propose the consent agenda. And I'm proposing that items 100, 101, 102, and 104 be moved to the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? It's been moved by Commissioner Maggie.
I know you by your first name.
And is there a second? Okay. Well, thank you. This is funny. I knew her last name, but I knew your first name. Between the two, I've got a first and a last name, so it's okay. So anyhow, the consent agenda, the proposed consent agenda has been moved, approval, and seconded. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the consent agenda, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda is approved unanimously. And now looking for an approval of the minutes of the regular meeting that was held on May 9th of this year. You've all received a copy of the minutes. I trust you.
Motion to approve.
Commissioner Moraga has moved approval of the minutes as submitted. Is there a second? Well, Commissioner Davis has indicated that she seconds that. I'm going to reverse on this thing. Next time would be Commissioner Kelly. All right. Any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the of approving the minutes of May 9th, 2014, the regular meeting, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. Okay. So, we will now call for item 103. They don't all rush forward.
Mr. Chair, if I might, before the staff begins, there's been a handout put before you, which is a revised contract for Veterans Village of San Diego. The revision is on page 2 of the agreement under time performance. The time is now shown as November the 1st, 2014 through March 31st, 2015. With that change, the agreement is the same as was in your packet.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Melissa Kiederman. I am the interim manager of the Housing Innovations Team. With me today is Senior Program Analyst Kathy Houck, and we will be presenting on the proposed fiscal year 2015 agreements for the city's homeless programs. On June 9th, the City Council approved the City of San Diego's fiscal year 2015 budget, which included support for homeless services programs. Additionally, on June 17th, the City Council and Housing Authority approved the MOU between the City of San Diego and the Housing Commission, authorizing the Commission to administer the City's homeless shelters and services programs. In follow-up, we are asking the Housing Commission to recommend the Housing Authority, 1, authorize the execution of fiscal year 2015 agreements with 4 nonprofit agencies for the operation of 4 homeless services programs, 2, authorize the President and CEO to substitute funding sources and increase compensation by up to 10% of the total agreement amount if necessary and as funding is available for such purposes, and 3, authorize the Housing Commission to expend a total of $490,000 from City General Fund in excess of the Housing Authority approved FY 2015 Commission budget. The specific agreement staff is asking the Housing Commission to recommend approval of are as follows. First, an agreement for operation of the Connections Housing Interim Bed Program by People Assisting the Homeless in the amount of $711,338 funded through CDBG, ESG, City General Fund, and Housing Commission. This program operates 134 year-round short-term interim beds for homeless individuals. Second, an agreement for operation of the Cortez Hill Family Center by the YWCA of San Diego County in the amount of $669,209 funded through CDBG, ESG, and Housing Trust Fund. Cortez Hill provides short-term housing and supportive services to at least 150 homeless families with children on an annual basis. Third, an agreement for operation of the Neil Good Day Center by Alva Project for the Homeless in an amount of up to $580,000 in CDBG and City General Funds. Neil Good Day Center is open year-round and provides drop-in services designed to meet the basic needs for more than 3,000 homeless single adults each year. Lastly, an agreement for operation of the Veterans Homeless Emergency Shelter by Veterans Village of San Diego in the amount of $412,766 from CDBG, ESG, and City General Funds. The 150-bed temporary housing program provides shelter, meals, and supportive services for homeless veterans during our community's coldest months. And that concludes our report, and we're happy to answer any questions you have.
Commissioner Waraka?
Quick question. The 10% increase that the buried workers, if you need it, where would those funds come from?
It could be from any number of sources. It could be an additional allocation of CDBG funds or ESG or city general funds. This current fiscal year, we received a second allocation of CDBG dollars for the veterans shelter in the amount of $19,000. And so we had to come back through the process to add that money.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes, I'm curious, in the Veterans Emergency Winter Shelter, because of the substantial number of homeless, how many are turned away, and if so, where do you send them, or what do you recommend for them?
The Veterans Shelter maintains a wait list, so they have a lottery system each night where folks can come and apply for shelter for the evening, and if there's not enough space, then VBSD is responsible for coordinating placement of those individuals and other housing programs throughout the community. So they work closely with the single adult shelter to make referrals if they have open beds or any number of housing, transitional housing programs in the community, and in the hope that we can get everybody placed.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Commissioner Moran has moved approval of the proposal as submitted by staff. Is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded the motion. Any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Is there anyone here today from VBSD? No indication of such. The reason I'm asking is that they will be conducting their annual stand-down here sometime in the next few weeks, and I wanted to find out if they could give us a precise date. Do we know what the date is?
Probably, yeah, that's how I could have remembered it, but no, sure, but I can get that out to you all. It's going to be in this month. I know, I don't remember. I think it's Saturday week, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it's next weekend, and just for those of you in the room, if you have an opportunity in the next few days to go through your closets, anything that you're thinking about removing from your closet, sending out to a good cause, if you would drop them off at VBSD by Friday, they will be put to very good use in helping to upgrade the clothing of a lot of our homeless pets who are out on the street. It's a great cause and something that I know that we provide some support to. And as I said, they need the clothing items and any other personal items very badly. Commissioner Davis?
Yes, I'm not certain, but I believe I heard on the news this morning that it was going to begin this Saturday. I can't vouch for that, but I know they did suggest anyone to gather their clothes and everything for the facility.
Well, whenever it is, if you check, when you get back to your office, we know none of you will ever get back online and check Google or anything like that. But if you did happen to Google Stand Down San Diego 2014 and could help out in some way, it would be greatly utilized and greatly appreciated. Thank you. Next is item 105. Project is called Atmosphere. Counselor?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Davis will abstain in connection with this matter as a result of a potential conflict under the provisions of Government Code Section 87-103 and will not participate in any matter in the voting on this matter.
Okay, so when it comes time for the vote, Commissioner Davis will just be listed as a not voted. At that point. Vice President Kern?
Soon to be Vice President Ann Kern, currently Senior Director, soon to be Vice President of Rental Housing, Finance, and Development. With me is Joe Correa. Item 103 is a recommendation for funding for Atmosphere. It is a two-component project, and like other large high-rise development that has taken place here, such as 1050B and Celadon, it requires both a 4% and a 9% financing structure in order to make the development feasible. We are working in partnership with Civic San Diego to revitalize neighborhoods as well as to provide housing for the homeless. Civic's senior project manager, Eric Kamayama, could not be here today, but are very supportive of the action before you this morning. I do just want to make a mention that one of the challenges we face as a public funder is the competitive nature of the 9% tax credit applications and the scoring. And the Tax Credit Allocation Committee wants to spread their money as far as they can, and so they have the ability to require a large amount of public funds in the investment so that they can finance more developments and lessen the amount of tax credits and deals. The Atmosphere earlier this year applied in the first round for 9% tax credits and competed against five other San Diego projects. It was a very competitive round, and they ranked third out of six projects. And they were not awarded funding in the first round, and given the known projects, they will likely compete with another project in the second round and will not likely get funding in the second round unless they can get some additional funding in the development. And so this morning we are recommending a loan and additional vouchers to this development. And with this additional funding and vouchers, the Atmosphere team will be able to apply in the second round, and they will actually be able to apply for two bites of the apple, both as a special needs SRO set aside as well as a geographic set aside. Joe Crail will provide you with the information regarding the project and the financing.
Good morning, Commissioners. As Ann said, I am Joseph Correa. Before you today is Atmosphere. And what we're asking you as a recommendation is for Atmosphere 1, 100 units. First, to approve a proposed residual receipts loan up to $3 million. Second, to authorize the President and CEO to execute necessary documents, adjust terms for consistency with the lenders, allow substitution of funds, but the total proposed up to $3 million loan may not increase. The other component, Atmosphere 2, there is no loan going toward that one. The recommendation is first that you recommend the Housing Authority approve initial steps to issue $28,750,000 up to figure of tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds, including an inducement resolution, a bond application to CITLAC, approving a bond council and a bond financial advisor, and requesting the City Council hold a tax equity fiscal responsibility act hearing, which is required by IRS. Secondly, we are recommending you authorize the President and CEO to execute necessary documents and adjust terms for consistency with other lenders. Well, Atmosphere is a proposed new construction 12-story tower with 205 units. As Ann said, it is complex, as you would expect. But put simply, it is financially structured as two projects in one building. Two separate projects. First, a 100-unit project, which we're calling Atmosphere 1, which is going to apply for the competitive 9% tax credits, and for which the developer is requesting the up to $3 million housing commission residual receipts loan. Secondly, the second component is a 105-unit project, which will apply for 4% tax credits, which are non-competitive, and for which the developer is requesting the Housing Authority issue the bonds. So the bonds go with Atmosphere 2 with 4% credits, 105 units. The loan goes with Atmosphere 1, which is 100 units, and no bonds to Atmosphere 1. The two projects, as we said, are located in the same building, shared common areas. Each of the two projects have non-contiguously scattered units on each floor. As you can see on the photo there, the two different colors represent some units for Atmosphere 1 and some for 2. So each floor, instead of having a separate floor for Atmosphere 1, a separate floor for Atmosphere 2. This project is somewhat unique in that the units are scattered on each floor. The location is at 1453 Fourth Avenue. It's bounded between 4th and 5th Avenues and between Beach Street and Ash. As you can see from the photo, it is primarily vacant land. There are two small commercial structures which are on month-to-month tenancies and which are intended to be demolished during the construction work. Atmosphere 1 will include 51 supportive housing units, and that using project-based Section 8 vouchers, which is provided by San Diego Housing Commission. 31 of those units are targeted to adults with mental illness who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. Funding for those 31 is also from the State Mental Health Services Act. 10 units are targeted to seniors who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. Another 10 units targeted to adults, non-seniors who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. So 51 units altogether. They include residential supportive services for the various people who are going to be in the project. So this will contribute 51 of the 205 units, virtually one quarter of the project, for homeless or at risk of homelessness. That adds significantly to our goal of trying to mitigate homelessness in the downtown area. The proposal is coming from Wakeland. Wakeland is an experienced developer. They're an award-winning developer. We've worked with them a number of times. They've developed a number of Housing Commission projects that using Housing Commission financing. It is a highly complex project, but for a developer with less experience than Wakeland, it might prove difficult. But I think Wakeland is more than up to the challenge of implementing this. The proposed $3 million is a residual receipts loan from the Housing Commission, and the commission loan would be contingent on the developer obtaining other sources of third-party financing, including the necessary 9% tax credits. Civic San Diego, as Ann said, has previously approved the project. The land is actually city-owned land, which is being leased from the City of San Diego on a long-term basis. Today's action is a preliminary approval. We will return to you with final approvals approximately January after the necessary third-party financing sources have given their approvals. Affordability, the total project is 41 studios, 42 one-bedrooms, 76 twos, 46 three-bedrooms. 202 of the 205 total units are rent and income restricted for 55 years at levels ranging from 30% to 60% of area median income. As you can see, there are estimated sources and uses for the permanent financing. It is a combined of approximately $400,000 roughly for the two projects together, per unit, excuse me. Estimated schedule, assuming that you and the Housing Authority approve the proposed actions and assuming that they are successful in obtaining their 9% tax credits, the schedule estimates that we would close escrow probably in March. We'd be back to you for our second round of review in January of 2015, closing escrow approximately in March, starting construction approximately in March of 2015, and completing approximately December 2016. Under the bonds, which is only for Atmosphere 2, the proposed issuance is up to $28,750,000, and the developer is responsible for paying all costs to issue the bonds. We're doing this pursuant to the bond policy, which the Housing Commission has previously approved. And just to emphasize that these bonds do not create a financial liability to the Housing Commission, the Housing Authority, or to the city. Finally, we have an architect, an artist rendering of what it will look like. You can see it's a very attractive design. Joe Wong is the architect. We've worked with Mr. Wong before. He's an excellent architect. With us today are Jack Ferris and Ken Sauter from the developer Wakeland. Just in summary, there are significant benefits for the community, including housing for the homeless, construction jobs, jobs for material suppliers, We think this would be a fine addition to the Housing Commission's stock of finance projects. So let me throw it open to questions that the commissioners may have.
Yeah, that's really complicated. The first half.
How in the world do you do the financial tracking to divide this project into two projects on the same floor? I'm shocked.
Well, there are some very smart tax credit investors and attorneys and bond counsels that are working on this, and they assure us that this is doable. If you'd like more information from Wakeland, we can certainly ask them to provide that, but we have talked with bond counsel, and they tell us that this is doable. Our bond counsel on this deal is Orrick Harrington and Sutcliffe, a very experienced bond counsel, and we have every confidence in their information that they give us.
Mr. Gentry?
One term, Mr. Chairman, I've heard used to describe this is financial engineering. And there, that's not a smart aleck comment. I really have heard that used. There are two properties within the side of this building that have used a similar mechanism. One is the Celadon Towers going up at Broadway at night, which is a stack of two tax credit deals, one 9% and one 4%, which we issued the bonds on, which we also have Section 8 certificates attached for homeless purposes. And the other is 1250B, which is at 1250B Street, just northwest of this building, which was completed, I believe, in 2010, which also had a similar financing construct, which we issued the bonds on for that for the 4% part of it as well. So it's 1250B, I believe, was the first one of this type in the state. This will be the third one now in the city. I'm sorry, 1050.
Commissioner Murata, at one point you looked as if you had a question.
Adequate question.
Okay.
Is it fair to say that this is all contingent upon the tax credits?
That's correct. The project needs a 9% allocation to make this project work.
Okay. And then the developer fees, I see the... Sorry, I'm trying to scroll back here. The deferred fee is $600,000. And the total was $870,552, so that $270,000 is, can you explain that?
No, it's very typical for projects such as this where they're eligible for a developer fee in each project. That's how the Tax Credit Allocation Committee has structured it, and the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee also allows that. Civic San Diego has negotiated the developer fee with Wakeland, and it is typical, and they do require a certain amount of deferred developer fee in each project that they underwrite.
Okay, thank you.
And did you mention that there's a representative of Wakeland here that would like to address us?
They're available.
I'll be very quick and just say hi. In reference to your question, Chairman, how all this is accounted for and all that, we really make attorneys very rich in this. And anyways, just to put your mind at ease, though, we put together an incredibly long legal description, and that goes out to the attorneys to review, and all of our financial people to review to make sure that we can track all the costs correctly and all that. But it's complicated, but it's been done before, and we'll be okay.
Before you leave, I noticed that 31 of the units had three bedrooms, and it seems to me that that's fairly large for a downtown supported housing project. What was your thought process as you were justifying?
Well, 31 of 205 units, and I think we'll be able to absorb that.
Okay. Thank you. And by the way, I'm glad to see Joe Wong is doing well. He designed a 50-unit apartment project for me back in the early 1980s when he was a, when he and I were both young men.
I'll be very quick. I just want to say a big thank you to Rick and his staff. They've been incredible to work with on this, because this is, as you all observe, this is not an easy project. It's extraordinarily complicated, and you have a really competent group of people, Joe Correa and Ann and everybody, and Debbie, just been great to work with. So thank you for that.
And it may be setting a precedent. You're displacing an attorney in developing this project. One of those commercial uses is currently being used as a law office. Counselor, do you approve of that?
Sure.
Okay. Commissioner Hubbard?
Hi. I'm new to all this. If you can explain to me briefly, I guess, how you apply for the TCAC, highly competitive 9% tax. You said getting the extra funds will help you in the second round. How does that work?
So the 9% tax credit applications, they hold two each year, one in March with awards in June, and one in July with awards in September. And it is very competitive. You have everyone throughout the state applying for the tax credits, and 9% tax credits in general will provide approximately 60% of the total development cost. And it's equity, not a loan, so it's very valuable. And the way that the Tax Credit Allocation Committee, they set up the scoring. So you get points for different amenities. You get points for public funding that you have in a development. And obviously the Tax Credit Allocation Committee wants more public funds, because then that can reduce the amount they need to put in the project. And then they can provide more projects and units throughout the state. But, of course, that puts the burden on us. And they actually hold workshops every year. They revise the regulations every year. They have workshops. They talk about the proposed changes, and that impacts scoring as well. So they're constantly revising the program and improving upon it.
Any additional questions?
I'm not sure.
Commissioner Moraga has moved approval of the item as submitted. Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that motion. My comment is that I agree with your assessment of Wakeland as a very experienced and an accomplished developer, and I'm looking forward to a great project. So I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion, can I oppose? No. That wasn't a no vote on my part. That was me saying I'm not opposed. And so the motion has carried three yes, no negatives, and one abstained. Thank you very much. Looking forward to the grand opening. Welcome back, Commissioner Davis. Item 106, Willie James Jones Apartments.
Good morning again, Ann Curran, Senior Director of Rented Housing Finance and Development. With me is Ted Vinohara, Real Estate Project Manager for the Willie James Jones Item 106. This is a somewhat simpler development, but also will create new affordability in the city of San Diego. Before Ted starts his overview, I do want to make a note of three corrections to the report. The ownership entity has been changed from Willie James CICLP to WJJ CICLP. The entities that comprise that partnership are still the same, just the name change. The tax credit investors now U.S. Bank Corp, Community Development Corp, not Union Bank, and the development will have two-car tandem garages, not surface parking. With that, Ted will provide you an overview of the project.
Good morning, Chair and Commissioners. Staff recommendations to the board include: recommend Housing Authority approval for a residual receipts loan for $2.5 million, recommend Housing Authority authorization to issue up to $8 million in tax-exempt financing, and authorize the President and CEO or designee to execute all documents, adjust financing terms and conditions as necessary, and substitute funding sources as deemed appropriate. Willie James Jones is a 32-unit new construction project located in the Lincoln Park neighborhood of southeastern San Diego. The project address is 327 South Willie James Jones Avenues. Cross streets are Euclid and Imperial. The site is 1 acre of vacant land bordered by single-family and multifamily housing. The project will consist of 33-bedroom and 2 4-bedroom units. 25 of the units will be set aside for households that include a member considered developmentally disabled. 29 of the units are designed as 3-story townhomes, and 3 of the units are designed as fully accessible flats serviced by an elevator. The project will comply with Housing Commission sustainability guidelines. The Secured Access Project will provide a community room for services that include adult education, skill building, and computer literacy. In addition, Southern California Housing Collaborative and the San Diego Regional Center will staff a supportive housing coordinator and service coordinator to provide up to 30 hours of free services per week to serve the developmentally disabled population. The project is within close proximity to the trolley, elementary and high school, public park, grocery store, and retail. Rents will range from 30 to 60% of the area median income. 3-bedroom net rents will range from $553 to $1,122 per month, and the single affordable 4-bedroom unit will rent for $613 per month. WJJ CIC Limited Partnership will be the owner of the project and will consist of Chelsea Investment Corporation, Southern California Housing Collaborative, and U.S. Bancorp as a tax credit investor. Chelsea has developed over 6,600 units of affordable housing. Southern California Housing Collaborative is a local nonprofit with a mission to locate and secure affordable housing opportunities for low-income individuals with developmental disabilities. The development will be financed with tax-exempt bonds, 4% tax credit equity, multifamily housing program loan from the state, infill infrastructure grant from the state, soft loan interest, deferred developer fee, and housing commission loan. The Housing Commission staff has negotiated a purchase option at the end of the 15-year tax credit compliance period. The Housing Commission will receive a $20,000 bond issuer fee, an annual $10,000 bond administration fee, and $4,600 annually for compliance monitoring. The Housing Commission's financial advisor, PFM, has determined that the project will be feasible during the compliance period. The issuance of bonds will not create a financial liability to the Housing Commission, Housing Authority, or City. Any bonds issued will be repaid from project revenues, and the developer is responsible for paying all costs of issuing the bonds. That concludes our presentation.
Any questions? Okay. Does anyone have any particular thing they want to say? Like, make a motion? Commissioner Davis has moved to approve the proposal as submitted. Is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded the motion. Any additional discussion? You may have wasted your trip down here. Okay, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
If I could say something for a moment.
Okay.
I just wanted to let the commission know that it's not often that people come to our office. But yesterday I had a young mother with 3 children, $16,000 a year income, come by to drop off a pre-application because we put the word out for this. She has 2 children with autism. This would be the nicest place she's ever lived. So we're very excited. I explained to her that, you know, we're hoping to break ground, you know, by the fourth quarter, and we'll be available until the earliest, the end of next summer. She says, I'll wait. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that information. Thank you all. Item 107.
Chair, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Council. I'm Azucena Valladolid, Vice President of the Rental Assistance Division. With me is Suket Dayal, Director of Strategy and Innovation. HUD requires that all public housing agencies maintain a board-approved administrative plan that contains the current policies by which it governs its rental assistance programs. On March 14, 2014, the board approved the fiscal year 2015 Moving to Work Annual Plan. The San Diego Housing Commission must now incorporate these initiatives into its administrative plan in preparation for implementation. In addition, the new fiscal year 2015 administrative plan provides further clarification on policies regarding the administration of our Housing Choice Voucher Program and Family Self-Sufficiency Program, which streamlines the inspection cycle and allows non-head of household adult members to enroll in the Family Self-Sufficiency Program. A summary of the administrative plan changes is included in the board report. We respectfully seek the board's approval of the fiscal year 2015 Section 8 administrative plan and the implementation of the new policy. Suket and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I just had a quick comment.
Commissioner Murata?
Great work. It's great to see the adjustments being made here, especially in the self-sufficient program and the Achievement Academy. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Move to approve.
Commissioner Murata has moved approval of the staff recommendation. Commissioner Davis has seconded the motion. Any discussion? Not call the question. All in favor of the recommendation as supported by staff, indicate saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Sorry to make your job so easy.
I'll take it.
Item 108, Real Estate Division Workshop. Mr. Gentry?
Let me say just a word setting this one up. We have a number of workshops coming forward for the board for the next four meetings. And in September, we'll be doing a feedback to you on the strategic plan implementation. And in October, we'll be doing a presentation on a strategic planning for homelessness services. Real estate, which is one of our two biggest divisions, you just heard from the other of the biggest divisions, that is our Section 8 Housing Voucher Program. But real estate is so large that we decided to break this workshop into two component parts. So Debbie and her folks will be giving you part of the presentation at this board meeting, and then the other half at our second workshop in August the first board meeting. But I think that there is so much going on here, it's hard to keep track of it for us sometimes. These are some huge programs. And Debbie, thank you for putting this together for this month and also in August.
You're welcome. And good morning, Chair Granling, Commissioner Mr. Gentry, and Mr. Christensen. As Rick mentioned, I'm Debbie Ruane. I'm the Senior Vice President of the Real Estate Division. And today we are delighted to present an overview of a portion of the real estate team. This workshop is intended to familiarize our new board members with some of the work performed by the real estate division, as well as to update the entire board on recent activities. No action is requested. This is simply a presentation by six of the nine teams within real estate. In August, we'll be presenting the remaining three teams. And today's focus is on the finance and real estate development activities. And we're also going to include a brief overview of the Greater Housing Commission's overall strategic plan and the real estate department's contribution to it. The format of the workshop will be that the department heads will come to the podium, present their team's scope of work, accomplishments, and goals for the next year. And you are, of course, free to ask questions at any time or wait until the end of the presentation. It's completely your choice. And I want to thank you in advance for your patience. I hope you notice the pride with which the team will speak about their work. We could talk for days about this, but we're going to try and do it within 45 minutes. So with that, I'll turn it over to our soon-to-be new Vice President, Ann Curran. Good morning again, Ann Curran, Senior Director of the Housing Finance and Development. Let me just show a picture of our whole real estate division. We took some pictures. We thought it would be fun to show the faces since we didn't think we could fit everyone in the boardroom. Okay,
Okay, so the real estate division is one component of the Housing Commission, and we cover the following services. We do real estate finance, new program development, loan management, rehabilitation. We enforce the compliance of certain city ordinances. We have a property management division, asset management, construction services, and maintenance. This workshop is going to focus on the left and center columns, the finance and the development parts of the real estate division. And Anne, here you go.
Okay, so within the rental housing finance and program development department, we have the rental housing finance group. We have the loan management group, which is comprised of both first-time homebuyer activities and loan servicing activities. And we have the rehabilitation department. In addition, we have Melinda Nickelberry helping us out in our program and performance management department. In the rental housing finance and program development department, our total budget for FY14, and I'm going to mainly focus on FY14. Some of the units will share with you both 14 and 15 goals. In FY14, we have a budget of $35.7 million and 24 full-time employees. This is just a snapshot of our rental housing finance group. And what we typically do is we are very integrated. So even though we have people in rental housing finance, we do dual duty. So Wendy helps us out in rental housing finance. She's in business and program development. And we also have some overlap with the loan management group. So we really are a team working together to accomplish the mission of this agency. Rental housing finance, we partner with qualified developers, as we've seen this morning with Wakeland and Chelsea and Affirmed. We want to provide quality, affordable housing. We want to manage our funds prudently and effectively. We want to balance our investment in the community, and we want to provide diversity in what we build. So we want to serve seniors. We want to serve families. We want to serve the homeless. So we don't want to just target one small portion. We really are trying to meet the needs of all San Diegans. Our total budget of $36 million primarily comes from home funds, which are federal funds, inclusionary, and linkage, commercial linkage fees, which are local funds, and then bond fees from our administration of the bond program, which brings in over $1 million to help cover our cost. We also see a trend towards energy efficiency these days, transit-oriented development, and again, trying to reduce homelessness in the city of San Diego. For the rental housing finance group, our budget is $17.9 million this year, and we have just over 5 full-time employees. The scope for our Department of Rental Housing Finance is mainly 3 activities. One is to underwrite new loans for multifamily development. And we typically do that through a notice of funding availability, which is a document that a developer can apply for at any time, so it's open. We don't make them apply twice a year or once a year. It's open. They can apply at any time. And the target for new loans for development is we try to focus it north of 8th. We want to get development in transit-oriented development, which is either we prefer at a trolley stop or at a rapid transit center. We also want to target housing near employment centers. We don't want people to have to drive an hour to work, and we don't want them to be on a bus for an hour to an hour and a half. That takes a lot of time out of their day. In addition, we administer a multifamily revenue bond program. That program, even though it doesn't take money out the door, it provides a vehicle for developers to get 4% tax credits. And I mentioned earlier, 9% you can get 60% of the total development cost. 4% you can get about a third in tax credit equity. So those two programs, bond and 4% tax credits, go hand in hand. With bonds, you can get an over-the-counter allocation of 4% tax credit. So it is not competitive at this time. It's a big piece of what we do. We also administer the city's inclusionary, North City Future Urbanizing Area, and Density Bonus housing programs. These programs produce affordable housing in the city without an investment from the city or the Housing Commission. In addition, we administer the home and affordable housing funds. The affordable housing funds are both the inclusionary and the linkage fees. So we have to keep track of those monies, we invest those monies, and there are some reporting and compliance functions associated with those. This year, we also endeavored to conduct a fee study, and we wanted to analyze what type of costs we could recover
under our program so that we can continue doing the good work that we do. And we engaged a consultant, we received their preliminary recommendations, and we expect that in the fall we will be bringing forward their recommendation to this board. We also are working on our guidelines for refinancing requests. Many projects, and we've been in business for quite a few years, many projects are now approaching their 15-year tax credit compliance period. And what happens then is they have the opportunity to refinance, get some additional tax credits, recapitalize the project if needed, and we're starting to see those requests coming in. And what we want to do is be consistent in how we deal with those requests. So we are working on guidelines for that. We also are updating our guidelines for residual receipt analysis. We do analyze annually the payments, reserves on our loans, and we want to improve those cash flows coming back to the commission, so we're working on that. And in addition, last year, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development updated their home requirements, and in turn, they required that all jurisdictions update their procedures manuals, so that means we have to update our procedures manual covering all our home-funded activity, which includes home buyer, rehab, rental housing finance, and homeless initiatives. And in addition, they require us to have new, more thorough and thoughtful underwriting criteria for CHOTOs, which are Community Housing Development Organizations. So we are working on that as well. So this year, our goal was 460 new units of affordable housing. Our actuals are 497. We thought we would have 826 units under project management support. And, you know, once we underwrite a loan, our project managers, they attend site visits, whether it's, you know, weekly, biweekly, or monthly. They process the pay draws. They kind of keep track of the projects. And then once the projects are completed, eventually they convert to permanent financing. And so there's also work required at that point. And so there were actually 1,600 units under development this year, which is quite a bit of activity. And in addition, as we mentioned, we administer our bond portfolio, 52 units, 6,700 affordable units at this time. We had two projects complete this fiscal year, Juniper Gardens and Fairbanks Commons, 203 new units of housing for persons with very low to low incomes. An investment of $2.8 million from the commission. And this just shows a slide of Juniper Gardens. It's actually a rehabilitation preservation project. And some of you attended the grand opening. Yes, that was Wakeland, sorry. Wakeland Housing and Community Development did that project, 40 units of preservation in City Heights. This is an example of a project in the North City Future Urbanizing Area that just had a bond issue with no commission investment, but a total development cost of $51 million, new construction, 165 new units in an area of the city where it's very difficult to build affordable housing. This slide just shows in total the number of units and projects that are under construction. We actually have 8 projects. 894 affordable units, $23.6 million commission investment. And I think it's important to note, you know, $270 million total development cost. This is a huge investment in economic activity and jobs in the city, a big job creator. And these are, as I mentioned, under construction. They'll be coming online in the next 2 years. We have quite a few pending projects, the three of which were on the agenda today, Willie James Jones, Westminster, and Atmosphere 2. Those projects, with approval, and with three more that we are in negotiation with developers, will provide an additional 596 restricted units, and that's through loans, partnerships, and bond financing. The other thing that most people don't know that we do is our inclusionary and density bonus project. You mainly see our bonds and our loans. But we also have staff working on inclusionary and density bonus, which are two ordinances that the city of San Diego has. Inclusionary housing typically says you have to pay a fee, and it's based on a gross residential square footage, or if you can, you can provide affordable units. And density bonus, what that does is says if a developer wants to provide some affordable housing, the city will give them increased density. So if you're only zoned for 100 units, with the density bonus, you can get a 35 increase in density. You can build 135 if you provide some as affordable. So under this program, they combine both the density bonus with inclusionary, no investment from the city, There are 566 affordable units coming online in the next 2 years. And the three that I think are pretty interesting are 15th and Island, which is a two-tower high-rise downtown, and we have a picture we'll show you in a minute. Savita, we're doing phase one. They're building 150-unit senior development. Savita is a 4,500-unit development in Mission Valley. They're providing 450 affordable units at the end of the day. Of course, that's going to take several years to come through the pipeline. The other significant project is Casa Miraview in Mira Mesa, 1,800-unit development, 185 affordable units. But I think what's also telling in this slide is that this program not only results in affordable units without public investment, this does provide dispersed affordable housing throughout the city. We included the community areas here, so you can see we've got units in downtown in Navajo, Sara Mesa, Uptown, Mission Valley, Pacific Beach, North Park, Mira Mesa, Torrey Hills. It's very widespread, so I thought that was just very interesting and wanted to share that with you this morning. This just shows you a slide of the Casa Miraview development up in Mira Mesa. If you drive up the 15 freeway, you can see it right from the freeway. It is massive. It is developed by Garden Communities, and they are known for building very large developments. What is also very interesting in this development is that, you know, Garden Communities typically provides very enhanced amenities. They typically, as this picture shows you, a very nice swimming pool. They also usually have movie theaters and very nice fitness centers. In this development, they're also providing a bowling alley. So quite interesting. This is just a photo of the 15th and Island development. This is being developed by Pinnacle. It's two towers, over 900 units total, and they're going to provide 72 affordable units. Now, how the developers do this is in this development, there's a little podium area down there beneath the two towers. That's where the affordable is going to go. And that's how developers typically help make affordable housing work in these types of developments. And then this slide just gives you numbers for future development in the North City Future Urbanizing Area. So the North City Future Urbanizing Area is five sub-areas. It has Black Mountain Ranch, Pacific Highlands Ranch, Torrey Highlands, and I know I can't remember all of them. But the city required that development in this community had to provide 20% of the units as affordable. Developers don't typically receive financial incentive to do this. They have to pay for it on their own. And so what developers typically do is they hire a developer such as a Chelsea or an Affirmed, and then Chelsea goes after the 4% tax credits, and then they're able to build the affordable units. So they typically will build standalone developments, which we like, the multifamily type, and they get tax credits to do it. So to date, well, there's 2,100 total affordable units that will be built in this area at the end of the day. Over 1,500 units are already completed, and there's about another 600 units that are on the way. Fairbanks Square is under construction right now, and the next one that we expect to come down the road is, it's called Unit 13. It's 198 units in Pacific Highlands Ranch. Affirmed Housing has been selected as the master developer for this, and they are right now in discussions with us, and we expect to bring forward a bond inducement approval probably in August or September of this year. So another activity that the city has embarked upon that provides additional affordable housing without public subsidy. With that concludes my piece of rental housing finance. I'm going to turn it over to Wendy DeWitt to talk about business and program development activity. Thank you, and good morning. Wendy DeWitt, Director of the Business and Program Development Unit. What does business and program development do? We administer city ordinances, SROs, single resident occupancy hotel units, downtown and actually citywide. Mobile homes, which are found in mobile home overlay zones. There are parks remaining in the city of San Diego, as well as coastal housing. And what do these ordinances have in common?
The city has recognized all of these areas as important sources of low-income housing. They've adopted ordinances to protect the housing as well as the tenants in the housing. So there's either a replacement requirement and or a relocation assistance that is required to be provided to tenants. The unit also pursues new revenue sources. Ways that we do this, we look for efficiencies and cost savings in our existing programs. We look for ways to leverage existing assets. And we also look to create new revenue sources to supplement our existing programs and also fill gaps in programs that we currently operate. And we also introduce new program activities to address issues in existing programs as well as introduce new programs. Just to highlight a few of the current projects that we're focusing on right now, SRO conversions. There is an uptick in development activity, and we're finding that the SRO hotels in the downtown area are typically very subject to development pressure and loss of those units. So we're focusing on that right now, as well as it has a resulting impact on our homelessness efforts, which we are also focusing on. Sure. We have I won't go to the next slide. I'll get there on the next slide. Strengthen our loan portfolio asset management procedures to improve cash flow, and also investigate ways to access capital in our portfolio and make recommendations. The SRO inventory, let me give you a picture of what that is. There are over 14,000 SRO units citywide, and we discovered that from an inventory that was done in, I believe, 2000. The city did a citywide inventory. Of those units, you can see about 5,300 of them are in the center city downtown area. And due to the ordinance and an assembly bill that was passed, there are a little over 2,000 that are downtown that are exempt from the replacement and relocation requirements. And the reason that it has become an issue is that in the last 6 months, and this is just 6 months, we have received inquiries and actually have either contracts or negotiations underway on 558 units that will, as soon as these activities are completed, will be converted. So that's almost 600 units of very low-income housing that we will be very interested in finding replacement housing for these tenants. So it is a big issue. We're looking at ways that we can preserve these units. There are two ways. We can enforce the ordinance in new and different ways, and that's kind of the stick version. But is there a carrot? Can we incentivize preservation of these units? That, of course, takes money, but maybe we can look at SRO hotels, approach owners, possibly do a pooled bond issuance to provide money to restore these units. A lot of them are historic and actually great buildings, but it's a great asset and is a significant amount of low-income housing in the downtown area. Strengthening the loan portfolio asset management procedures to improve cash flow. We've looked at the annual financial reporting that we require our borrowers to do each year and have looked at ways to improve it. There's additional information that we, you know, metrics that we should be focusing on, such as are the rents keeping up with the HUD adjustments that happen every year? Are there sufficient reserves? These are the assets that secure the Housing Commission's loan portfolio, approximately a $300 million loan portfolio. Residual receipts calculations, are they being calculated correctly? Could we simplify the form? Could we make it more informative? All of these things will help improve cash flow and residual receipts payments, which are the payback payments on the Housing Commission loans.
And then finally, we have designed a physical inspection protocol for the assets that secure the loans, which means that we will go out and inspect them annually and look to see that the maintenance is keeping up, that the owners are taking care of capital needs. We don't want to find in 20 years that suddenly these properties have a huge capital need and it's a surprise. We want to avoid that. Our FY15 goals, exploring ways to leverage the multifamily loan portfolio. First of all, how much is the portfolio worth? We know we have about $300 million of loans and grants out there, but what is it worth on the market? We would like to engage a consultant and actually perform a valuation of the loan portfolio. And then that, of course, leads to the second point. Could we sell all or part of it on the market? We've never considered that before. Could we realize a cash infusion by doing that? After we have a valuation, we'll have a good idea about that. And then also, we have some very seasoned loans in our portfolio. There's equity in there. The economic times have changed. Are there some projects that could maybe experience a more favorable interest rates in today's climate? So could we go in and restructure those and then experience a loan pay down of our loan or a payoff? That would be more money that could come in through our affordable housing NOFA and be lent out again in a revolving fashion. And then finally, this is a very interesting and exciting project. That's to pursue creation of a pooled investment fund to leverage San Diego Housing Commission loan capital. This concept of a pooled investment fund is to gather partners and gather interested investors that include not only institutional banks that may have CRA requirements, other requirements to invest in affordable housing, but also foundations, other public agencies, and take funds, investment funds, and blend the interest rate to arrive at a below-market interest rate. It has been done before. San Francisco has what they call a TOA fund that focuses on transit-oriented development of affordable housing. So we're looking at those models and other models across the country. We would like to hire a consultant that can outline a business plan and help us structure the fund so that we can create one here in San Diego. We've talked to potential partners. Civic San Diego is interested and would like to proceed with us as partners in the creation of this fund. And that concludes the Business and Program Development Unit. Thank you.
So we're going to turn it over to Rick Vincent, who's going to talk about the housing construction program. Lyle's doing it. Lyle.
Good morning. Commissioners, my name is Lyle Knudsen. I'm with the Home State Home Unit. And I'm filling in for Rick Vincent, our housing construction manager, who had a recent loss in his family, his father-in-law. The Home State Home Unit was formerly the Housing Relocation Department, and we changed our name conjunction with some of the HUD grants we received from Healthy Homes, and we applied this more comprehensive approach to all of our rehabilitation programs. That is a picture of a couple of our representatives are missing at that time, but we have 9 staff, plus Wendy, in our department. There are 4 housing construction specialists who carry on a lot of the housing construction work. The Home Safe Home Unit assists low-income and very low-income homeowners in the repair and rehabilitation of their homes. And we also take care of lead paint remediation. That is both for owner-occupied and rental properties. We have a budget of $5 million this past year, and that's primarily coming from HUD grants through lead safe grants plus Healthy Homes grants, as well as we have former redevelopment departments funding through tax increment housing, affordable housing subsidy funds. And we have some federal home funds and local housing trust funds as well. To give you an idea of the budget, what I've already stated, last year was $5.3 million. staffing 9.87 full-time employees. Give an example of our 35-year history of housing. The Home Safe Home Unit absorbed some of the housing rehabilitation programs that the city previously had. And so we've been in existence since 1979. We carried over three of the programs that the city had and started our own programs in 1980. Through that time, since 2002, we've been successful in being awarded 8 competitive grants from HUD for lead control and then healthy homes as well. And those will be phasing out this coming fiscal year. We've assisted over 1,500 households in remediating lead, and those are primarily for households that where either children under 6 years of age reside or frequently visit. So they've been made safe for those children. In addition, we've done mobile home grants. We've had that in existence since 1992 with the advent of the Housing Trust Fund, which has funded that. We've assisted over 2,110 mobile homeowners. I might add that that program is for variable income. However, over 80% of the individuals we've assisted have been extremely low income, under 30% median income. So we virtually are the source of last resort for many of those people to keep them from being homeless. Other rehab loans and grants through the years, for over 35 years, we've had from funding from CDBG in the first 5 years, rental rehab programs for another 5, and then the Home Investment Partnership. And we've spent over almost $86 million in those rehabilitation, assisting over 8,700 families. In all, over $105 million in loans and grants have been dispersed, and that has been supplemented with over $4 million from the property owners as well. So we've assisted over 12,375 property owners in the rehabilitation of their homes. This current fiscal year, the goals we've had that spread out, as you mentioned, the lead hazard control grants, healthy homes grants, which has just completed one of our 3-year grants, and so that will be no more, and then the mobile home repair grants funded by the local housing trust fund. We have done very well in our grant programs. For some reason, people accept grants rather than loans. We have a citywide program of no-interest deferred loans funded by a Home Investment Partnership, and then we are finishing up some redevelopment projects in 8 different redevelopment project areas in the city. As you're well aware, a couple of years ago, the redevelopment agencies around the state were dissolved, but we were successful in getting some of those fundings from previous fiscal year 12 and hope to help some more families. And then occasionally get some program income from the neighborhood stabilization program, and so it's acquisition plus rehab for first-time home buyers that we assist in. So you can see we are going to probably exceed overall, but we've had a shortfall in the loans. However, the grants have overcompensated for that. For the fiscal year 15, you'll notice there's a downgrade in a number of units. For one thing, we had a retirement of one of our housing construction specialists at the beginning of the year. So we'll have 4 housing construction specialists to carry on and complete the aim of 200 units, which will be approximately 50 units apiece, which is give them a lot of work to do. Plus, we're also transitioning to help a lot of the other departments with technical assistance for physical assessments, for acquisition of other properties, as well as first-time home buyers. A picture speaks more than 1,000 words. So here's some examples of some of the housing that we've done. This is the single-family, two-story home in southeast San Diego. We've got something where a lead hazard control grant and a duplex in Linda Vista where there's a lot of lead located. Another small single-family cottage in North Park that was rehabilitated. And here's another lead work that was done on a house in southeast San Diego. We've also done quite a few rental properties. This one here, the rental owner supplemented with considerable amount of his home money to rehabilitate 6 units in Linda Vista. And a 2-unit building, a rental, that was done. The property owner spent another $23,000 in addition to our lead grant, and made a big difference in that property there. And this is a property also in Linda Vista that was rehabilitated. It's quite an impression difference. Thank you very much.
Before you leave, question. There was a time a few years ago when we were conducting training classes that led to an EPA certification for contractors on lead remediation. Are we still doing that?
Yes, we do that in conjunction with one of our partners, Environmental Health Coalition. They provide those in both English and Spanish.
Okay.
Thank you. And that's funded with the lead grants.
About how many contractors do you think you put through that?
Oh, boy. I believe it's well over 100. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now I'll introduce Vicki Montz, Loan Servicing Loan Management Unit. Good morning. The loan management team is made up of 10 individuals. We have those that service our portfolio, underwrite loans. We have an administrative team. And our one male intern that we have balances out.
That's amazing. You have, it only takes one male intern. Nine women.
That's amazing. He's young. Very young.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going down that road. I couldn't be surprised to hear any woman say that one, even very young, energetic male, could equal nine women.
That's a lovely shade of red.
Well, the loan management area consists of two distinct areas. We have the loan servicing of our portfolio and home ownership. Our responsibilities include the first-time home buyer program, affordable for-sale housing. We have the loan portfolio servicing, which is made up of our multifamily, rehabilitation, affordable for-sale, and first-time home buyer loans. The loan servicing team is responsible for the Housing Commission's $316.7 million loan portfolio, which includes approximately 2,800 loans. We have three full-time loan servicing specialists, and they handle about 900 loans each. The budget for this year is $2.4 million, and full staffing is 5.765. Okay. They are fancy stuff. This gives you an overview of our portfolio, the $316.7 million. Although the multifamily loans only are made up of 132 loans, that is the bulk of our portfolio, which is about $193,000 million. First-time home buyers, there is the largest number of loans for those, and they make up $47 million. The affordable for-sale housing, there are 295 loans on those, and what those are is actually not a funding by the Housing Commission, but they make up the difference between the market value of the home and the price that was sold to the person that was affordable, and it makes up almost $60 million. And that was when the units were originally sold. And last but not least, rehabilitation loans, just under 1,000 loans at $16.7 million. The portfolio team has serviced the portfolio since the inception, which is 1978, I believe. So they've completed over 1,600 loan payoffs, 2,700 subordinations. They also handle all the assumptions, short sales, bankruptcies, loan modifications. We have one person dedicated to doing the loan servicing and occupancy monitoring. A few years ago, we took over the servicing of the multifamily loans, and a big chunk of that includes the annual review of the audited financial statements for compliance monitoring. They also oversee the defaults and foreclosures, and as you see there, we have an almost non-existent default rate of 0.10%, which is made up of a whopping six loans, in which the first loan is in default because our loans are usually deferred. And the industry average is 2 to 3%. So they do a fantastic job in overseeing our portfolio. The other part of our loan management team is home ownership. And that was created around 1990 with the Mortgage Credit Certificate Program. And they are responsible to determine all of the buyers that they're eligible, meet the eligibility criteria. They also underwrite and fund all the loans for the first-time home buyer program and the affordable for-sale housing program. Their budget this year is $10.1 million, and the majority of that, $9.5 million, is actually for the loans and grants to provide the financing to help our buyers.
This gives you a snapshot of the last 5.5 years of funding for the first-time home buying program. This is loans, grants, mortgage credit certificates. As you'll see, the greatest production year for us was 2010, and that's when the Housing Commission received our neighborhood stabilization program money. And not only did that provide financing to purchase it, it also allowed them to rehabilitate their property. So it was a very successful program. This calendar year so far since January, we've closed 50 loans. We have 21 pending. This actual fiscal year, we were supposed to complete or help 80 first-time home buyers. And because of additional money that was for our first-time home buyer program that was recently approved by this board, we're actually going to help about 120 first-time home buyers this year. Very successful. This is our affordable for-sale housing little overview. 295 units. 257 of those have long-term affordability of 45 to 55 years, which means that every time one of the owners wants to sell the unit, they have to come back through the Housing Commission, and we set a price for the unit that's affordable and that the buyer also meets the eligibility criteria. Those units are restricted between 60 and 120% of area median income. The remaining units have short-term restrictions, and that means that they were only restricted to the first buyer of that unit. The unit was sold at an affordable price to that buyer, and once they resell the unit, the restrictions go away. Overall, since the program was created for the first-time home buyers and affordable for-sale housing, we've assisted 5,286 families to become home buyers. The current funding for the first-time home buyer program allow us to help 164 families. The average assistance for a loan and grant is $58,000. The mortgage credit certificates we have available for this fiscal year is 44, and the average income is 71% of area median income for our home buyers. Overall, the goal for fiscal year 15 is to increase productivity, ensure consistency, and provide excellent customer service through the implementation of an asset management software for the multifamily loan portfolio, update and streamline loan servicing guidelines and procedures, and also to automate deferred loan and closing grant documents through our Yardi database. That concludes my. Thank you.
And now I'll introduce Melinda Nickelberry. I think this is Melinda's first presentation to the board. We stole Melinda from the IBA's office down the street. Thank you, Debbie.
So did you tell us that so we would be gentle?
And thank you very much again. As Debbie said, I am the budget manager with the Budget and Performance Management Unit within the division. The responsibility of the unit is to support all of the RID departments in the strategic plan implementation coordination, budget and five-year forecast development, budget to actual monitoring and reporting, report development, and ad hoc budgetary and financial analysis. In particular, for the strategic plan implementation process, we are currently working to coordinate project planning on behalf of the RID division and have a role in monitoring the project progress and success moving forward. In this portion of the presentation, I will discuss some of the current projects within RID and future projects moving into FY15 that will support the agency in accomplishing the goals outlined within the plan. Earlier this year, the board adopted the plan, and as you know, the plan identifies how the San Diego Housing Commission will have the greatest impact with limited financial resources moving into the future. Of the strategic plan goals, the RID division will play an integral role in carrying out a number of projects to ensure their success. In particular, RID will perform a lead role in completing projects to support the goal to preserve and create affordable housing and to foster a culture of excellence and innovation. The successful completion of the GRID strategic plan projects have four overarching outcomes that we have been able to identify. One is to obtain new funding to support the creation and preservation of affordable housing. The second is to continue the provision of quality, affordable housing for our tenants by ensuring the economic and physical sustainability of the portfolio. The third is to define the San Diego Housing Commission role in reducing homelessness. And also, the fourth outcome will be improved departmental efficiencies and program effectiveness. The attainment of new funding to support the creation and preservation of affordable housing has four main projects that will support us being successful in this area. One of the projects will be to identify financing mechanisms to perform rehabilitation and preservation of the real estate asset portfolio. This will include equity withdrawal, financial restructuring, tax credits, and partnerships, just to mention a few. We will also explore ways to leverage our multifamily loan portfolio, develop software analytics for multifamily first-time home buyer and the rehabilitation portfolio to identify key performance metrics to monitor potential options for leveraging the portfolio that Wendy DeWitt spoke with you about earlier. There's also the creation of a pooled investment fund that Wendy went into great detail discussing with you as well. For the projects that will ensure the continued provision of quality affordable housing, this will be spoken to in great deal when Emmanuel will be speaking with you in regards to the portfolio management's work moving forward in FY15. But some of the projects will speak to the creation of interim and permanent procedures to support annual assessments of the real estate portfolio, the completion of the green property needs assessment, and the development of a capital plan on how we will go about strategically making the improvements to the properties to maintain the quality of our housing stock. The other area of our projects will ensure improved departmental efficiencies and program effectiveness. Some of the projects that we will work on is a review of the loan servicing workflow processes to identify areas for cost efficiency improvements. We will also explore enhanced online interactivity for vendors, developers, and program participants that will be particularly useful within the homeownership and loan management area. We will work with all the departments to create dashboard reports to identify key performance indicators that will provide us with the information that we need to make decisions on a daily basis. We will also look at all the departments and evaluating their impact, cost efficiency, the funding structure, and the mission alignment of all of the RID programs and operational practices. And from that evaluation, we will develop and implement best practice policies and procedures. I've highlighted here this particular project. The wording here speaks to the development of a five-year forecast for the RID division. All of the projects within the strategic plan speak to identifying opportunities for improvements and efficiencies. And with the success of these projects, we will be able to utilize it to inform a five-year forecast document for the RID division that will document the fiscal impact that all of the changes will have for the division. Here, I've just outlined the steps for the five-year forecast development. This is a project that the Budget and Performance Management Unit will play an integral role in supporting the departments in accomplishing this for the RID division. The three main stages of the project is research, where we will identify opportunities for department improvements, evaluate true programmatic costs, evaluate the current funding structures for the division to minimize dependency on local funds, and evaluate program alignment with the San Diego Housing Commission's mission. From this evaluation, we'll then be able to devise plans and recommendations to address any opportunities that we were able to identify to increase program effectiveness and cost efficiencies. And the project will culminate in the creation of the five-year budget forecast document. In regards to the strategic plan implementation process, RID departments are currently working to develop very detailed project plans for the strategic plan projects, and throughout the next coming years, we will continue to monitor the projects along the way to ensure their success and their adherence to the outlined timelines. Thank you. And last but not least for today, Mike Papko.
Thank you, Debbie. Morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Mike Papko. I'm the Executive Director of Housing Development Partners. And we thought we'd give you an update on HDP and share a little bit more about our organization. For those of you not familiar with us, we're a three-member team, myself, Colin Miller, and Emily Monahan.
And we know that Emily does work equal to the two of you.
Three times as much. Okay, thank you. So Housing Development Partners is an affiliate of the San Diego Housing Commission and was formed in 1990 as a separate 501c3 tax-exempt organization. We have a five-member board that consists of the CEO and chairman of the Housing Commission, two of the Housing Commission board members, and two at-large board members. HDP develops special interest projects and also serves as the development arm of the Housing Commission. And since our inception, we've amassed a portfolio of nine properties totaling over 1,051 units. This next slide gives you a snapshot of our portfolio, and you can see that we participate in a variety of different housing projects, including 54 units of family housing, 319 units of senior, 555 single-room occupancy units, and 123 permanent supportive housing units. So this next slide talks a little bit more about some of the benefits of the Housing Commission on behalf of HDP, and some of those include our expertise in real estate development and asset management, our experience with supportive housing projects, experience with historic buildings, hotels, and SRO housing, and also key local relationships that we have with Civic San Diego, the county, and the Veterans Administration. Finally, our nonprofit status gives us additional access to funding sources and provides independence and flexibility in developing affordable housing. So next, I'd like to take you through a couple of our projects, and actually, they're both of them, Hotel Churchill and San Diego Square, are just two blocks west of us, and you can see both of them from behind the windows right here. Hotel Churchill is located at 827 C Street. It's a seven-story historic building that was built in 1914. The Housing Commission acquired the property in 2011 and selected HDP as the developer just this past year. Plans are underway to develop 72 permanent supportive housing units for homeless vets and individuals from the county's mental health program. The project is being financed by the Housing Commission with participation from Civic San Diego and the county. We intend to complete a comprehensive gut rehab of the building. We'll have all new interiors. We're also going to restore the historic facade. In addition, we're going to add on-site social services and case management and service coordinator offices and community space in the building. So this is the before picture, and this is Hotel Churchill in 1940, which is really in its glory day. We'd like to, when we finish the project, we're going to implement some of the things that are currently in this picture, including some of the Juliet balconies, the transom windows, and really give it a full facelift. So the next project that we're working on is San Diego Square. It's immediately right behind you. It's a 155-unit senior complex that was built in 1980 under the HUD 202 program. HDP recently acquired the project and intends to complete a comprehensive renovation using Housing Commission funds and low-income housing tax credits. A couple interesting features of the redevelopment include new floor-to-ceiling glass windows, which will help modernize the building. We're going to add a new 7,000-square-foot senior center, which will include social services and recreational activities for the seniors, and also exterior improvements to the 10,000-square-foot commercial space on Broadway. This next slide is a rendering of what the project will look like post-renovation with floor-to-ceiling glass. Our last slide talks about some of our goals for 2014. Two of our big initiatives are closing on the financing and beginning construction of San Diego Square and Hotel Churchill. We hope to identify one new project and begin pre-development work. We also want to continue to assist the Housing Commission with the Homelessness and Strategic Plan initiatives. We want to begin development of an asset management database. And finally, we want to continue to promote the Housing Commission and HDB's nonprofit mission. That concludes.
That concludes the workshop for today for the Real Estate Division. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Gentry?
Just a couple of comments, particularly for the newer board members. We are not a normal housing agency. And as you meet other board members and staff of other organizations, I think what you'll find is that the typical housing agency across the country does two big programs, and typically only two. They do the vouchers and they do public housing, the federal programs, and that's about it. There is a significant minority that does more. One of my background postings was as the CEO of the Redevelopment Housing Authority in Richmond, Virginia. There are a number of those around. But what we do, in particular the financing that you just heard about, is most unusual. And so when you talk with other professionals, you'll find that out. In most cities, there is a separate agency that does the housing finance function insofar as it gets done. For instance, in Los Angeles, there's a Los Angeles City Housing Authority that runs public housing in Section 8. There's a city housing department that does all the other finance components, although even up there, the healthy homes component is done by a nonprofit. And so what we do combines a lot of different functions that are typically found in a lot of different organizations. And I think with that, what this brings to the fore of this agency is a significant brain trust among the people you just heard, as well as a way to integrate monies and make things more efficient for the organization. You'll hear at the next board meeting about operations and the stuff that we own and operate and how that works as well. But what you've seen today is a fairly unique corporate animal. There are not many organizations like us around. I'll also point out that what you heard is a lot of talk about changes that we've gone through in the last 4 or 5, 6 years, as well as changes planned for the future. And what this agency was, I think it's fair to say, 6 years ago, was an organization that was doing its job pretty good, in some respects outstanding, but in a lot of respects was sitting on assets and just kind of not thinking beyond tomorrow. And what we're trying to do, and this started with the whole shift from public housing to locally owned properties in 2009, the program that Debbie or Elaine put together. What we're doing going forward is setting up plans so that the assets here can be leveraged, can be used, and can be maintained and preserved as far into the future as we can. And to Debbie and to her team of people, my compliments. They've done excellent work, which will continue. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I concur with his comments. Thank you very much. Thank all of the personnel who went in and long hours to make sure that we had this good presentation.
I would be remiss if I didn't thank our communications department for helping us review the PowerPoint at the last minute. It's extra work to put together something like this, but we're extremely proud of the work we do and really happy to show off our people and our achievements. So thank you for your support, for the approvals that you've given us, and the ability to keep doing great work.
All right. That was the last item on the agenda. And so, Council, you don't have anything extra you want to add to this?
No, sir.
And with that, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. I'm not going to bother to identify by whom. But we voted and said yes. Thank you all. Have a great weekend.